Welcome everybody to a football podcast special edition here, as we are going to give you a little preview for the CPL playoffs coming up this weekend. Obviously a huge week in Canadian soccer, starting with the men's national team. We've got MLS playoffs coming up for Vancouver as well. We'll talk all about that, but we wanted to lock in on the CPL playoffs. We've been waiting for this moment for quite a while, and now it is finally here. So to start it off, I'm going to chat with the head coach for Forge FC and the technical director, Bobby Smyrniotis, and then we're going to run Devang's interview with Kyle Becker from last week at the end of this episode to talk all things CPL as well. And then on Monday's episode, you will get the full interview with Bobby Smyrniotis, where we talk all about Canadian soccer. Coach, let's start here. You've got York coming up. It's a team now that you know very well over the last month. What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think for the neutral observer, I think it's going to be an exciting game. You know, you take kind of the season and you throw it out the window, because now you have 90 minutes and it's one game. So you can look at the fact that what the record was between the two teams, or the difference in the point standings. But the one thing that makes playoff football exciting is it's 90 minutes. So we all go a little bit to square one. And for the neutral observer, I think that's great. On our end, you know, it's something we look forward to. You know, we've done great in these knockout games in our short 3-year history. But we're looking forward to the match and seeing what it's going to bring us.
Let's start with the regular season matchups. Two in the last month. You beat York twice. What did you see from the way your two teams line up against each other?
Yeah, I think it's an intriguing matchup. You know, we both have a little bit of a similar idea of how we want to play and how we want to be on the pitch. You know, for us, it's important to be on the front foot. It's important to see and have possession of the ball in certain areas of the pitch. You know, York this year has shown a little bit of a different side of things, where they don't necessarily have to be on the ball all the time. And being a very good team on the counterattack, I think they've shown that throughout the whole year in all their games, and a much better resilient team in defending. You know, we've had a lot of success against them this year, and I think we need to pinpoint those areas of where we are successful throughout the season with them and bring that into this weekend's game.
Do you talk about the regional rivalry? Do you talk about the proximity at all?
To be honest, myself, no. You know, for me, it's I take every team to the same level in a humble aspect. You know, I think every team brings a challenge to us on the field. They also provide certain opportunities. So I usually stay away from all the outside noise of the local rivalries, the derbies, and focus more on the tactics and the football at hand. And I think that's the most important thing for the guys to look at. You know, it's 90 minutes of football. It's 22 guys on the pitch. Let's go there and let's try and execute to the best of our ability what we need to do to win a game.
You mentioned the short time for this club, obviously, the league in a short time, but the success in games like this, in win or go home moments, where does that come from? What? Because the one thing that stands out to me when I watch Forge in games like this in CONCACAF, in Canadian Championship, in CPL, is there aren't large segments of the game where you look like you're chasing or you're worried or the team is bothered. There seems to be such a level of calm in these moments. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I think it's just from our humble approach to things. I think it's just making sure we're focused on the task, knowing that the small details make the biggest difference in these games. And the energy level is probably the most important thing, because tactically, you know what you're doing, you know what you're out there set to do as a team. I think you need to bring the energy. And then you also need to make sure you pay attention to the details. And those details are the throw-ins in different parts of the field, the simple set pieces or free kicks at midfield. For us, we pay attention to every single little detail. And I think that's the one thing the guys bring out in the games, especially in these games, is their ability to focus on those details. Because we all know in these types of matches, you know, it's the smallest little thing that will make the difference. That will turn the tide, that will give momentum to one team, change things going back in the other way. So I think that's one thing we've learned to do very well.
You mentioned regular season doesn't count anymore. The points difference doesn't matter. Which do you believe is harder? Like, which is the real title? Is it being the number one team in the regular season, where you play everyone home and away and everyone gets an opportunity? Or is it this playoff atmosphere?
Yeah, it's a big question that's always kind of asked. And the simplest answer for me, it's the one that the league tells you has a trophy. because in the end, that's the one that counts. That's the one that gets you playing into CONCACAF and this way or that way. So, you know, we can talk about, the single table and the champion after that. But that comes to the league. And like I say, at the beginning of the year, the CPL is always given a path to a trophy, a path to a champion. And that's the one you have to look at best. This year, okay, we finished top of the standings. You know, it's been a tough road. You know, we've played 36 games compared to most of our counterparts that have played 30 games up to this point because of the CONCACAF games. It's been a loaded schedule. You know, it's pressure game after pressure game. And we finally have had a week now leading up to this playoff game where, you know, we've played two games that really didn't matter in the standings. And it's given us the first time in the season to actually breathe with the players, just to kind of sit back and get ourselves prepared for the next one. But going back to your question, I think, you know, in the end of the day, the champion is the one that lifts the trophy. And if there's one trophy, whether it's for the regular season, whether it's for the playoffs, that's the one that's the champion.
Well, there's been two trophies in CPL history, and Forge have lifted them both. It's been a ton of success in playoff atmospheres. Coach, good luck on Sunday. We're really looking forward to it. Of course, Cavalry and Pacific playing on Saturday at Cavalry. That should be a phenomenal match as well. And then if Forge do succeed and go on to the final, they will be hosts, of course, at Tim Horton Field. You can hear my full interview with Bobby Smyrniotis coming up on Monday about all things Canadian soccer. But for now, let's go over to Devang and Kyle Becker a little bit more about the CPL.
Welcome back to AFP. Very honored to be joined today by Forge captain Kyle Becker. Kyle, how are you holding up? It's been a long season. I think you've made 31 appearances already so far. Just a status check on how you're doing.
Yeah, it's good. Obviously, it's been a very busy season, but I think we're in the exact position we'd want to be in. So we're welcoming it. We're welcoming the games every 3 days. I know it's a little bit chaotic, but it is what it is at this point, right?
For sure. I think you're in an interesting spot because you've been in a lot of firsts for Forge. You were their first signing, their first captain, but you guys made history again last Tuesday in Hamilton, qualifying for the Champions League. I mean, the game itself was amazing. The goals were quite fantastic as well. But I wonder, just from an on-the-ground perspective, what was that moment like for you guys to achieve something like this? Because I think just from a wider CONCACAF lens, this made shockwaves across the continent.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always a little bit more interesting when you're on the field and you're in the game. There's obviously a lot of emotions, but you're so locked in on what's going on that you're not really taking in the full scope of everything. I think even for myself personally, so I got subbed off like late in the game. There's when the game is pretty much, obviously we're just trying to see it out, but knowing that if they just scored on any random little chance that we were going to extra time. So the second I think I came off, the emotions were even higher, and like you're a little tense because now you're removed from it, right? Like there's no way that you can kind of impose yourself. But from I think there's a special feeling, I think, from that first minute. I think we knew in the locker room that we were capable of it. Like we were up for the challenge. But I think once that whistle blew and everyone was on the front foot, it just felt good. There was just something about it. We just knew we needed that first goal. We created a couple chances right away, and you could kind of feel it that, all right, we're definitely up for this one. So obviously it was special the way it happened. I mean, Omar's goal was an absolute joke, and it was, and when that went in and when he just hit that, it was like, wow, all right, here we go. Like we're going now. So that was, it was definitely a special night.
The Omar goal and then Mo with that volley. I'm like, okay, there's something is happening here where this seems highly possible.
Yeah, definitely. I think anytime you go into those games, obviously our biggest, you can't necessarily focus on the score. You know, it's in the back of your head. You know, you have to kind of overcome that deficit. But the most important thing for us was just conceding nothing and making sure that we get that first goal and then just trying to build off that. And I think the special thing from us is we figured out pretty quickly that we could expose them on the outside, and we had a little bit of an advantage, and we could expose where they're a little weaker, and we were doing that. We kind of stuck to that game plan. We didn't necessarily get the two in the first half that we wanted, but we had the one going into halftime, and it gave us a very good feeling. And it was just, all right, boys, just stick with what we're doing. It's clearly working. It's going to come, whether it's in the 46th minute or the 90th minute. Like, we have to stick to it and make sure we keep nothing in the end. And luckily everyone kind of bought into that mentality and went out there and just kind of keep going and throwing things forward. So it was good, but you could definitely feel it on the field. There was a buzz around the group, and the boys were up for it, man.
No surprise we're in a pandemic. That's not breaking news, but I think you guys have been in a very interesting spot in terms of having to travel a lot during this time, which has been, I can imagine, pretty strange. I wonder, what's that been like? Like, I guess it's hard to get comfortable or feel situated when not only are you playing this much, but you're also piling on the miles travel-wise.
Yeah, I think last year, obviously, with our CONCACAF run, it definitely was unique in the sense that we played every single game away. Obviously, it was even more different with just a one-off game. So every single game we were playing was a final. It was a bizarre year in terms of what we did in the league coming off a bubble season. So guys were hungry for more games, and we knew the more we won, the more success we had, the longer our season was going to be. And in a strange year, that was kind of our motivation. But the bizarre things around it was because Canada was so locked up and training was chaotic. Like, they locked us out of our building here. We couldn't even train. So oftentimes to go play one game, we were doing like 14-day training camps in another country. And so it was just so much time spent away from home, away from friends, family, loved ones, all that stuff. And it was like, all right, we're getting ourselves up for another final. And then once we did that, it was great. But then it was like, all right, well, what's the next round even going to look like? What are we doing? We're having a quarantine for 2 weeks when we come back home. It was wild, man. I think I did 3 quarantines last year, and that's 3 too many. But the funny thing is, I think that experience and like playing in those atmospheres, albeit in empty stadiums, but like going down and playing away from home in this competition kind of gave us a little bit of experience and maturity to know that like we were capable of making this or overcoming that that 2-goal advantage in that second leg. So I think it's something that we actually leaned on and learned from. So it's I think it paid off in the long run.
Like, these kind of things definitely build a team, and it's clear I think you guys rally around your coach as well. He's a fascinating guy. I know he's been linked with a lot of big jobs based on what he's been able to accomplish with Forge, and that speaks to what he's done there. I'm curious from the inside, what's he like? What's it like working under him? What's it like interacting with him as the captain? I'm just an inside look at the man, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby's obviously a very demanding coach. I think the biggest thing that separates him from everything else is his tactical awareness and his ability to kind of change formations to give us what we need in a specific game against a specific opponent. And I think that's something that we saw massively in that second leg against Santos, and the way just little things we switched around to kind of nullify their counterattack, which is something that they're fantastic at, and it makes them so dangerous as a team. And we were able to kind of to shut that off and cut out their kind of biggest weapon. And that also then allowed us a lot more advantage with the ball. It gave us a little bit more time. And I think that's where you see his genius. I think around the stadium, he's a motivated guy. Like a lot like the CPL, and a lot like if you look at even the players on the team, you got young guys who are trying to break in and prove themselves, right? And kind of go on to something bigger and better. And we're trying to do that with a coach leading the lines. And that's what he's doing with us. He set the environment. It's a very professional environment. He wants these guys to learn and continue to grow and kind of come into their own and add all these things to their arsenal, their game. And guys who buy in, they have a lot of success. So I think it's a fantastic environment. He's a great coach. I think I've learned a lot from him, and I'm one of the older guys on the team. So I've definitely enjoyed playing with a guy like this. I think we see eye to eye in a lot of things. So for me personally, it's been a great experience working under him.
I think one of the things you can tell about Forge from afar, not as a person with the team, but it seems like you guys like being around each other. And I think there's a lot of familiarity there as well. Just looking back at old TFC rosters and seeing some links between current players on Forge and the reason maybe why you guys have such a strong bond on the field. But you played with Mo before, you played with Emery before, and now you're playing with them again. I wonder what that's like to see how those guys have developed along with yourself. Like, you guys are different players now, you're different people as well off the field. But I imagine that's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think there's previous links in chemistry when you look up and down our roster. There's a strong connection, obviously, from Sigma, first and foremost, with a lot of the boys coming from there, coming through there. So obviously myself being a little older, but me and Emo came through Sigma. Then we had our time together at TFC. But we knew the Kwamis and Johnny Grant, Chris Nanko, and all these guys when they were starting up at Sigma, and they were that young, exciting group, and they were this up-and-coming talent. So that unique opportunity to be able to play with these guys who are from the same area. We have a little bit of that similar connection in terms of how we kind of came up in this game and in the GTA. It's it's special. And then obviously with guys like myself, Emo and Mo, I mean, the biggest thing that I think we try and impart on some of these other guys is just give them as much experience of positive and negative that we've had in our career to them who are just kind of starting out, and where they can kind of learn from our mistakes and learn what works, what doesn't work and all that stuff. And that includes everything that's on and off the field. And I think that's just another weapon that we have in those two guys, because they just provide a different perspective. You know what I mean? And I think that's that's so valuable in a locker room. So more guys like that around, it's great for the young group. And I think that's something that we have in big numbers here at Forge, which is fantastic.
It's a three-way race for first for the league number one placement in the playoffs. I think you guys have some games in hand and can control your own destiny. But I'm curious if you had to look at the other teams around you, Cavalry, Pacific. There's some animosity there now. You guys have played enough. Cavalry, obviously, there's history. But I wonder how you would assess how those guys look, particularly at this point in the season. I know Forge's record speaks for itself, and you guys are playing internationally as well. But what have you seen from Cavalry and Pacific this year? More of the same? Or it seems like Pacific seems to be peaking as well to join the three of you at the top of the league?
Yeah, listen, I think they're both very good teams. I think they're doing some fantastic things right now, and they're good opponents. But I think our biggest focus right now, I think our biggest shift that's led to a lot of success is focusing on ourselves and not worrying about too much of what's going on around us. And I think in this last month, I think that's been pivotal for us. I think we've kind of closed in and just been pretty narrow-minded in terms of what we're looking at. And that's literally just focusing on what's internal and knowing that if we take care of our business and we check all our boxes, then we're giving ourselves the biggest advantage to be successful. And that's not even being disrespectful to the other teams, because they're fantastic, but it's just, don't get caught up in all the hype. Don't get caught up in what everyone else is saying, whether it's One Soccer, the media, whatever it may be. It's just coming in, doing the work every single day and knowing that we have the ability to go out there and win on any given day, as long as we come out and respect the opponent and bring that work ethic. And I think that's something that's been, especially since that game against Montreal, has been massive for us. But I think we've just upped the tempo in what we've been doing, and then the quality kind of speaks for itself. But if we don't come out and respect the opponent and bring that effort and that work ethic, then on any given day, anyone can beat anyone. But I think that's just a testament to this league and the quality that goes across the board, that if you don't show up and you're ready for it, then you're going to be in for a tough night. So obviously those two other teams are great. But our biggest focus is obviously trying to get that first spot so we have home field advantage, because we know how dangerous we can be here at home. And I think that's something that's very important to us.
You've got the semifinals in the CONCACAF lead coming up. I'm curious for some of these teams, Kyle, that maybe you don't get to see that often. I mean, unless you're a soccer fanatic scouring YouTube at all hours of the night, you're probably not going to see many highlights of some of these teams. How does the coaching staff prepare you guys to face some of these teams from Central America? Is it a lot of video heavy stuff, I imagine?
Yeah, I mean, our staff here is incredible. So they make sure that we're as prepared as possible. We get a breakdown of the teams we're playing. And honestly, for us players, it is a nice change of pace. Obviously, with a small league with fewer teams, you play the same teams, you see familiar faces over and over, and that can be its own mental challenge as well. So this is a nice change of pace when you're going to a new opponent that you don't essentially know too well. You've seen them on video, you get as much information as possible, but there is that sort of unique feeling when you're going out in the game and you're like, all right, we're going to have to figure this one out in the first 15 minutes to see what they're all about. Obviously, teams can switch tactics and formations on a given day. So it's a little bit more, I think the tensions are a little higher. You're more aware of what's going on, and you definitely have to be a little bit more locked in for those games, which is just adds another element to it.
Maybe just to zoom out a bit, Kyle, and this is more of a bigger picture question, but I'm curious, when you were making the decision to go to school and when you went to Boston College, obviously the CPL didn't exist, and it does now. And I think for a lot of players in that age group, it is now definitely a resource to prolong your career in Canada and find another opportunity. But I wonder what it would have meant if something like this existed when you were coming up through the ranks, and how important that would have been, because I feel like this is a great resource now for a lot of players.
Yeah, I think it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't necessarily know if we know how important it really is, but I think for me, someone who was so driven, I obviously wanted to make my goal of being a professional a reality at any cost. And I think that's sort of a reason why I ended up going to school and getting a scholarship, going that route, because that gave me more options, more doors open, just to make that dream a reality. And it was just going to kind of keep prolonging it, keep myself in the conversation, right? But for these young kids who are able to see, I mean, we've seen it. If you look at even like a TFC in Montreal and in Vancouver, it's, you're giving these communities, these markets, the ability for kids who are coming up to see professional soccer in their backyard, and just the exposure alone. So it's, all right, when you're going up, when you're in school and you're in first, second grade or whatever, and your dream is to be a professional soccer player, kids know that it's actual feasible idea. It's no longer just this pipe dream. Now we have all these other markets that are open. These kids can go to the stadium. They can see the game on a weekend. You can support your local team. You can kind of get yourself involved in that community and know what it's all about. You get that buzz going into a stadium, seeing a professional game. It's a real thing. So when you're then playing for your under nine or whatever team, maybe you're trying to recreate a goal that Kwame will scored on the weekend, and you're trying to be that guy when you're playing with your friends in the backyard. And I think that is so special and so unique, and something that we haven't necessarily had in this country ever. So it's the exposure of it. And the fact is even when I was coming up, TFC was around, but the amount of good quality players that I played with that just drop off at 17, 18, because there is no avenue for them to go, whether school isn't for everyone. Maybe they weren't necessarily in the academy system at the time and couldn't get into that TFC or whatever it may be, or they didn't have someone looking out for them that could kind of guide them in the direction that they needed at the time. And I think just the fact that there is now more doors open and more opportunities for these kids to get themselves in the door and test themselves and see if professional football is really for them, then it's unbelievable what that is going to do for this country. And then I think when you compare that with the success that our national team is having at this moment, and the excitement that's built around that, and like the buzz around this country for football and top quality football, it's unbelievable. And I think we're just going to see this thing accelerate over the next couple of years, and it's fantastic. So I think if I was a kid who was 12, 13 years old right now, I'd be going crazy, man. I'd be doing everything I could, whatever dream you have, if you're trying to get into the World Cup team, if you're trying to play for Canada, TFC, Hamilton, whatever it may be, it's these things are feasible now, and it can be that motivation that these kids need.
I feel like we should put that on a poster, because I'm ready to run through a wall. Kyle, that's a fantastic answer. And it leads me to my last question. It is the international break. Omar Brownie is playing with Panama, but Canada is hosting a couple big games at Edmonton. A couple of the guys you play with, Oso, will be there. Daniel Henry will be there. Wonder how you've been watching this and seeing Canada get closer to World Cup in Qatar. It feels like this is something that we can achieve.
Yeah, man. This group is special, man. They got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. It's fantastic. You can see that they're all up for it. They're playing for each other. They're playing fearless. They're going up against everyone and they're challenging them. I mean, they got talent across the board, and they got a little bit of that underdog mentality. It's fantastic to see. So I was actually at that last game at BMO, and it was an unbelievable atmosphere just to see the crowd packed and everyone nice and loud and into it. It's so much bigger than any one individual, and I think that team represents that. I mean, it's such a group that's just, you're playing for your country, and I think that is what people, it resonates with people, and that's fantastic. I mean, Canada has been screaming for this for a long time, so it's great to see, and it's great to see that they're having the success, and I think that it's more than deserved with the quality that they have in that group. So I wish them the best of luck in those next two games. I mean, we're actually in Edmonton. We're playing the day after that
game. That's right.
So I think there's going to be a few boys trying to get out to see that game. And I think it'll be a great experience for everyone. So hopefully they can get the job done and do it, man.
Okay, last question. Do you have any insight on when the 2020 Canadian Championship might happen, that final?
That's a question we've all been asking across the room, man. It's crazy. It's obviously, that's something that we really want to play. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. Obviously, in the time when it couldn't be played, it's whatever excuse it may be. So that's something that we've wanted. We've been looking forward to. We've been promised it. It's up to Canada Soccer to make it happen. So I don't know if you're going to hold your breath for that one or not. But
we want to see it too. Kyle, thank you so much, man. And best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.